I think you're right. This is a kind of eye-opening moment where basically what we've seen for the last year or so is this kind of a narco-tyranny where you're right, conservatives are right to say that there is this effort to kind of defang the police or at least get them to back off of policing a certain kind of crime and a certain kind of criminal. But that doesn't mean that they're actually depolicing. They're just focusing more on enforcing things like mask mandates or,
Right.
like you said, arresting Proud Boys and people like that. A good example is this guy, Jonathan Pentland, who's a drill instructor at a base in the South, the specific state eludes me right now. But basically, this guy got into a confrontation with a suspect who happened to be black. This guy was like a repeat offender in the neighborhood. What you didn't hear from the stories that broke was that this guy had repeatedly come into this neighborhood and harassed people and specifically had grabbed young women and made them feel very uncomfortable. There's a claim that he's like mentally unstable, whatever. Okay, but here's the part that the news really didn't focus on was that the police had actually known about this guy and they let him out. Like
Wow.
they knew that he was walking about, but the argument was we didn't want to make him a statistic. So when people would report him to us, we would kind of slap him on the wrist and then let him go. And he would go back into this community and harass people. So one day, a woman goes and gets this guy, Jonathan Pentland, and says he's back, do something about it. And he goes and confronts the guy. I don't know if you saw the video, but
Oh,
it goes
yeah.
viral. He says you're in the wrong neighborhood. He's really confrontational for right reason because there was things that happened leading up to that. The police absolutely destroyed Jonathan Pentland's life. They crucified him. Within 48 hours, there were people at his house throwing things through the window. The military completely disavowed him. His own unit framed him as a white extremist, a white supremacist. Like the guy's reputation is ruined. In the thing
And
about
he was just like
trying
a
to be a good
middle-aged guy
Samaritan,
who saw someone harassing women
doing
and
the job that cops wouldn't do because the cops were more concerned with avoiding the stigma of being called racist than doing their jobs.
this is the perfect example of why I have been saying abolish the police. And it is somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but not completely. The point I'm trying to make is if we are really moving into this era where the police know we can't go after anybody who might be defended by the left because we don't want to deal with it and we'll lose our budgets, but we can arrest anybody on the right all day and night and get praised for it, then what do you think is going to happen? In this instance, the cops, they knew. They knew who this guy was. They don't care about this guy, John Petlin's life, who seemed to be, according to this story, a regular guy who was like, these young women in my neighborhood are being harassed by this guy. I'm going to make it stop. And I watched that video and I'm like, what did the guy really do? He like got up to him and said, back off, get out of here, and pushed him. Shouldn't have shoved him.
Pushed him when he was walking towards his wife, which was actually the thing that the police, the sheriff, the I don't know, the sheriff chief, whatever, said that's like the evidence right there for ruining this guy's life, is the fact that he shoved him. What of course, but you see in that video is that the guy starts approaching his wife. His wife says something to him, and the guy starts walking towards him and steps onto his property, and that's when he shoves him and says, "That's my wife." And that's when the cops are like, "That's where he crossed the line when he shoved the guy."
You're
So
saying
it's
the
like,
cops ruined a guy's life because he pushed somebody?
yes, because the left claimed he was racist for shoving a young black man saying you're in the wrong neighborhood,
So it was like
and
social pressure that ruined this. They used social pressure to try to ruin this guy's life.
activists,
Politics
they do
and
this
social pressure.
For
I mean,
pushing
because it,
someone.
because initially he got it was basically the equivalent of like a citation because he slapped the guy's phone out of his hand, right?
Okay.
But then pressure is mounting. There's this outrage in the community about this racist white man who's telling like a young black man he's in the wrong neighborhood. And so
Oh.
the police went back and said, "Oh, we have new evidence that shows that, he shoved him." It's like, that's not new. That was in the video that went viral. And that justifies ultimately the penalty was like it was like a short like a few days in jail and like a $5,000 fine or something. It was really small, but that's nothing compared to the damage to this guy's reputation. Like the HOA where he lives disavowed him in a statement saying that like racism has no home in this
That's
community.
what they do.
And like I said, the HOA, the police, the military, the media. As far as these entities that I just named are concerned, like this guy is a vile racist who does not belong in polite society. His life is ruined.
This is like they say often that history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes, that phrase.
Mark
But
Twain.
this is just such a great example of banishment and how banishment has kind of come back around now. And now we have this social banishment, ostracization.
Conservatives need to call the bluff of the left. They need to call the bluff and say, we hereby believe all cops should be abolished. And there's two reasons for it. You see what they'll do to this guy. You see what happens. Anarcho tyranny. They will not enforce the laws to protect you, but they will enforce the law against you. And the second reason is y'all are gun owners. Why are you worried about petty crime in your neighborhood and what the police are going to do about it? If the left wants to abolish cops, if cops are then willing to ruin a man's life, not every single cop I know, call their bluff. Because how fast do you think we saw this in Minneapolis when they were like, we want to abolish the police. And then the city council was like, we hereby vote to abolish the police. No, wait, stop. Don't do it. The city council members panicked and freaked out. So I'll put it this way. I've had leftists tweet like Tim Pool only wants to abolish the police because he knows that when the police are gone, the leftists will get really angry, or he thinks they will. And I'm like, well, that's partly correct.
Right.
I am 100% confident if the police actually got abolished, you will see every regular American wake up. And that's one of the biggest problems. Frogs boiling in a pot. Conservatives can sit here all day and night and say, if we don't stop the tide from the floodwaters from rising, if we don't put up sandbags, we will drown. And people are sitting there just like, I don't care. It's not flooding in my house.
Right.
And then within a month, they're on the second floor being like, I don't care. Like, I'm safe here on the second floor. Okay. Call them on their bluff. Say, okay, look, I'll put it this way. The other side of this is that may be partially true, that I definitely think the moment you actually try to abolish the police, regular people will come out screaming, begging you to stop. But the other issue is exactly what we've been talking about. It's only a matter of time before we see more police arrest regular people. We saw it with the McCloskeys. People actually go onto their private property, go onto their lawns, and the McCloskeys come out. Okay, they shouldn't have been brandishing the guns the way they were. It was very ill-advised in that capacity. But should they have been arrested, had their guns seized from them, and the cops will do it with no questions asked? Then you have in Wisconsin this group of Black Lives Matter activists who had previously set fire to a home on twice in one day. They started a house on fire. I guess they came, put the fire out, and after they leave, they went and set fire to it again. Then you get this guy sitting in his house, and he sees this group. He's got a shotgun, and he brandishes it at his window. His window's closed. The police show up, knock on his door, and arrest him. And I'm like, so here you go. Yep. Let it be known, okay? If you think you will be spared by the police, you're insane. You are insane. We have seen on numerous occasions with that's three examples right now that if Black Lives Matter comes to your home, and I said this before this guy got arrested, I said it's only a matter of time before Black Lives Matter will show up to your house and the cops will look around and say, it is easier to arrest the homeowner than to deal with a riot. And they will arrest you who did nothing wrong in your own home. Now we're seeing examples of this. It was never going to be overnight. It was going to be slowly and gradually, and it's going to get worse. And if people just keep sitting back saying, the cops are on my side, you're wrong, 100% wrong.
It's interesting because Antifa, or let's call them black blocs, these thugs, right? They think of themselves as these kind of revolutionaries. But in many ways, they're basically just state-sanctioned thugs. And in that sense, I think of lumpenproletariat, which was this term that Marx used to describe people without any real sense of class consciousness. They're basically just, the term he uses, social scum, as opposed to actual proletariat. And they ultimately, because they're social scum, and they really just want to break things, and they can't, they're incapable of building anything, and they're just a bunch of criminals and degenerates, which is true. I mean, I'm talking about Antifa.
Sounds like
here.
Antifa.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So ultimately what they end up being is tools of reactionary intrigue. And what he means by that is these are people who think that they're involved in something important, but they're not. They're just being used by the state as kind of like, you know, like I said, state-sanctioned thugs. Or, I mean, on the other hand, what Antifa does, Antifa window repair, this is great for the biggest, most powerful corporations in this country. It's great for Amazon when the small brick and mortar business gets burned to the ground by Antifa. It's great for Walmart when the small shop gets destroyed and incinerated during riots. This is great. And Jeff Bezos, at the same time that these riots were happening last year and people were having their livelihoods eradicated, Jeff Bezos made or increased his worth by $13 billion in a single day.
And the reason for that is partly due to the fact that you could still buy from Amazon, but you couldn't go to the local mom and pop shop.
Right.
Big box stores were given special exemptions. We saw this in Michigan where like a local, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a flowers and like plant shop was like shut down. But then the gardening area of Walmart is left open.
Right.
So they say, well, but Walmart sells food. And a lot of people said, okay, should I sell loaves of bread at my hobby shop so I can stay open? Well, that's the game that was being played.
Yeah.
The massive transfer of wealth.
Yep.
But it wasn't just Democrat cities saying we're going to destroy small businesses. At the same time, you had mass unrest, thousands of people marching through the street shoulder to shoulder. And what did the media say? What did the universities say? What did the Democrat politicians say? This is not spreading COVID. Your business is shut down because a little old grandma walking in to buy milk could cause the apocalypse. But 2,000 people shoulder to shoulder marching through New York gets a round of applause from the doctors. We see those stupid propaganda photos where the nurse is like standing in front of the car and the woman in the car is saying like, you know, honk for freedom or something. Mm. And then all the people on the internet are like, look at these brave nurses fighting for us, stopping these stupid anti-lockdown protesters. Then a video comes out. People marching through New York, thousands, and nurses and doctors walk outside and start clapping for them. And when questioned, they said, but racism is the real public health crisis.
Right. Yeah, it's another, I mean, this is another example of going back to this discussion about the FBI and the Capitol Police using these fabricated threats or these exaggerated threats to justify their budgets and their operations. The CDC declared recently racism is a public health threat, and they tied it to the need for more funding.
Right. I love it when the cops all took a knee at these protests. Right.
Cops, FBI, National Guard.
And basically pledging fealty to the extremists.
Right.
And now we're seeing the implementation of what that ideology really means. And Mark Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff, saying like, you know, getting full woke, but I want to understand this stuff, he says. Yep. And then you still have conservatives. I was watching a live stream and people are yelling back the blue. And I'm like, man. Pay attention, dude.
Yeah.
Those people that you're defending took a knee for Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
All right, support them, I guess. Thanks for checking out this clip from the Timcast IRL podcast. If you want to see the full show, come back to this channel, youtube.com/TimcastIRL, Monday through Friday at 8 p.m., where you can leave comments and super chat, and we actually will read your comments on the show. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. And if you want exclusive members-only content, segments you can't get anywhere else, go to timcast.com, become a member, and we even have full bonus episodes. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.